May 1st. How about that? There are some days you wouldn't know it out there. Well, as Greg said, we're going to be talking about Psalm 134 today. And candidly, I was the one that created the switch because I made an error in judgment when I decided which of these Psalms I'd like to talk about. I've forgotten completely about a spring conference that I'm obligated to go to on behalf of my company. So we flipped things around a little bit. So this psalm is actually the last psalm in the Psalms of Ascent that we've been studying for many weeks now. We started out with Psalm 120, which was the first psalm of the Psalms of Ascent, and we saw the theme of repentance developed. Each of the psalms following described a part of what it takes place along the path of discipleship among people who have turned to God and followed Jesus Christ. And as we've studied the other psalms, many things have been discovered along the way. Beauty, insight, truth, stimulation, adventure, challenge, and meaning. These psalms required everything that's in us. All our desires and our abilities are called upon. But when we get to where we're going, what then? What happens at the end of the road? What takes place when we finally arrive at our destination? And are we going to be disappointed when we get there? Psalm 134, the final psalm of ascent, provides us with the evidence that we need. The evidence that we bless God, that we are blessed by God, and that we are blessed to be a blessing. The way of discipleship that begins in an act of repentance concludes in a life of praise. Looking at Psalm 134, it doesn't take long to find the key word and the controlling thought in the psalm. Bless God, bless God, God bless you. There are two words in Hebrew which are translated blessed in our Bible. One is Ashrei, which describes the having it all together relationship that comes when we're living in tune with creation and redemption. The other word is Barakah. It describes what God does to us and among us. When we enter into a relationship with the living God, He enters into covenant with us. He pours out His own life for us. He shares the goodness of His Spirit, the essence of His creation, and the joys of His redemption. He empties Himself among us. Better still, He takes up residence within us. And we get what He is. That is blessing. Gentlemen, we have to rid ourselves of the notion that God is afar off in some distant galaxy, sending us diplomatic messages from time to time. We need to realize daily that He is right here beside each of us, kneeling with us, walking with us, and in many cases carrying us. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. He's been there, done that. A book in the marketplace written about God has for its title, The God Who Stands, Who Stoops, and Who Stays. That title summarizes the posture of blessing. He is foundational and dependable when He stands with us. He stoops, He kneels to our level, and meets us where we are. God stays, He sticks with us through hard times and good, sharing His life with us in grace and in peace. And because God blesses us, we bless God. We respond with that which we have received. We participate in the process that God has initiated and continues to this day. We who are blessed, bless. Blessing God should be the ultimate priority of our lives. Why? Why make blessing the ultimate priority of our life? Well, number one, blessing God is an invitation and a command in following Jesus Christ. The Hebrews' pilgrimage started from Kedar in Psalm 120 with repentance and ended in Jerusalem in Psalm 134 with blessing. Our pilgrimage in following Christ also starts with repentance and ends with us to bless God. It's an invitation to speak well of God and to enjoy Him fully. It's also a command to turn our focus from self and the world to God, our Creator, Savior, and Lord in worship. Secondly, Blessing God leads us to be blessed by God. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth, as Psalm 134:3 says. We bless God because God blesses us. Why? God's blessing, as I would define it, is grace. And that grace evokes our blessing God, which I would define as gratitude. It's the cyclical experience in the pilgrimage that we each embark on. Grace demands a response, and that response comes in the form of gratitude. Psalm 73:25 tells us that God's blessing is to be desired in our lives more than anything else. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. In other words, you're all I want in heaven, and you're all I want here on earth. God's blessing is threefold. It's meant to keep us, to be gracious to us, and to give us peace. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us that whether we eat or drink, or whatever we do it all for the glory of God. In blessing God, we can easily be distracted from the urgency of good things as well as the lure of bad things. We're to admonish one another, to bless God and pronounce God's blessings on one another. I'll come back to that a little bit later. Psalm 16:11 tells us that blessing God also involves enjoying God fully as our ultimate joy and pleasure. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Therefore, blessing God is the main thing that overrides everything else, not only in this life, but also in the life to come, in heavenly Zion. The first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? What is the final purpose? What's the main thing about us? Where are we going? And more importantly, what are we going to do when we get there? The answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Glorify and enjoy. There are other things involved in Christian discipleship. The Psalms of Ascent have shown us some of them. But it's extremely important to know the one thing that overrides everything else. The main thing is not the work for the Lord. It's not teaching Sunday school for the Lord. It's not being responsible for the sake of the Lord and community. It's not keeping the Ten Commandments, loving your neighbor, or observing the Golden Rule. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Or, in the vocabulary of Psalm 134, bless God. So how do we, on a daily basis, glorify God and enjoy Him? What do we need to do in order to bless our Father? Well, I have a few practical applications for us. Number one, bless God every day as your response to being blessed by Him. Remember God's grace for you every day. The minute you wake up in the morning and set your feet on the ground for the first time that day, we need to be blessing God for another day in our lives. We need to check on our heart for gratitude. Grace always demands the answer of gratitude. The lack of it will require repentance. Live your life in this cyclical rhythm of experiencing God's grace and gratitude. Secondly, make blessing God your main thing that overrides everything else in life. Be vigilant against the tyranny of our urgent and earthly needs. Let your whole life bless God, whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, as 1 Corinthians told us. Encourage one another to keep it as the main thing in life. And number three, pronounce God's blessings on one another. As Greg said earlier, we are blessed to be a blessing. We're all directed by God to speak blessings. The exciting news is that we as believers are also priests of the Most High God. The Apostle Peter told us in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And then again, the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6 writes, Jesus Christ made us His kingdom and His priests who serve before God His Father. Did you know that serving as priests becomes part of our high calling when we accept Jesus as our Savior and our Lord? We've inherited some, not all, of the priestly duties from the Levitical priesthood dating back to the time of Moses. While some practices are not applicable today, we're still expected to intercede on behalf of the people and to direct others in worship to God. We also retain the important, though often overlooked, responsibility of imparting blessing upon God's people. We can and should be speaking the blessing of God over others so that He will, in turn, bless them. We need to be able to impart a blessing over a group or an individual as instinctively as sharing a hug or a prayer. In our family over the years, we have had the good fortune to become aware of not only God's blessings upon us, but how we can bless people. And our lives together, husband and wife, we have experienced the opportunity and taken the opportunity of, for one example, blessing our children. As they were growing up, waiting for the school bus, Kim or I, whoever was there at the time, would have the kids put their armor on, as mentioned in Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God. And then we would speak a blessing upon them. As the children matured, it got to a point that on certain days, we held up the school bus because the boys wanted their blessing. Another example, my wife, God bless her, and he does, our phone message when we still had a landline, she tried to put a weekly blessing on there for anybody who called. That's a pretty easy thing to do for any of us, especially since we all get all kinds of phone calls on a daily basis. We started to initiate a blessing upon people that had come to our house for Tuesday night study or to spend time with us over dinner or what have you. Instead of a normal goodbye when they would depart, we would speak a blessing over them. I have been in the business field for over 40 some odd years, and I have met hundreds if not thousands of different people, especially in the world of education. And God showed me, or I should say my brother-in-law showed me, an opportunity to speak blessings over people, whether they were saved or not, simply by shaking a hand and quietly blessing that individual as you shake their hand. It doesn't have to be audible. You can speak it in your mind, okay? That became such an important part of my life as a representative, because I may never have the opportunity to witness that to that individual. And by speaking that blessing upon them, it opened up just that little crack for God to step in and possibly begin to transform that individual. Granted, saying goodbye and shaking hands pretty quick, so you got to kind of be on your feet. I learned real quickly that I needed to use both of these as I met with the individual, so that the Holy Spirit could find something in the words that they spoke to me that I could use as that blessing when I left that customer. Anyway, those are some examples of how we can speak blessings. Why do we speak blessings? Well, first, our blessing conveys that we acknowledge God is the loving, sovereign, omniscient creator. Psalm 24:1 tells us the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Second, our blessing invites God's involvement. We're expressing our confidence in His intervention in our lives. We're petitioning the Lord to insert His power and authority into the situation. Third, our blessing encourages and exhorts the one we bless. Through the blessing, the person may be informed or reminded of God's righteous, omnipotent hand that's ready to touch him in their current situation. The truth gives real hope and encouragement when you do that. Finally, our blessing releases the blessing of God. We're acting as his ambassadors, his royal priesthood, as I mentioned earlier, when we use his language to bless. As we speak blessings to others, we're not merely sharing human thoughts. We're tangibly impacting their lives with divine authority. So when do we bless? And whom do we bless? Well, there's never a bad time for a blessing. Saying goodbye before heading out the door in the morning could be a time for blessing, which Kim does for me on a daily basis. Encouraging someone in their time of trouble can be an occasion for blessing. A hospital visit is definitely a time for a blessing. A note in a card for a birthday or graduation. My wife does that regularly. Anytime she sends out a card, it's a perfect opportunity to speak a blessing into somebody else's life. As you begin to practice the priestly duty of blessing, you might be amazed how frequently the Holy Spirit nudges you to impart a blessing on somebody. Parents can speak scriptures in blessing their children and grandchildren, as Kim and I have done. Spouses may speak blessings to strengthen their relationship with one another and affirm one another in ways that we've never experienced. Siblings can bless siblings. Congregations can bless their pastors and pastors their flocks. Friends may bless friends. Anyone who wants to impact the life of another person with the language of God can use blessings for that purpose. So how, Bruce, how do we bless? Well, it should come as no surprise that God gave us the model blessing in his word. Jesus gave us the model prayer, if you recall, known as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke chapter 11. We find the model blessing in chapter 6 of the book of Numbers, verses 22 through 27. The priestly blessing, also called the Aaronic blessing or the threefold blessing. Let me quote it for you now. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." As we take a moment and examine the model for blessing, we're all going to have a better understanding of the guidance it provides for how we are blessed. The Lord bless you conveys God's impartation of covenant benefits of the guidance, the covenant benefits to his children. In Deuteronomy chapters 7 and 28, Moses enumerated some of those abundant blessings to be expected by those who obediently keep the covenant with the Lord. I'll allow you to read through those because that list is numerous. The Lord bless you and keep you expresses the guardianship of God, the divine source of protection against evil, sickness, poverty, and calamity. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Pronounces blessings for God's favor and friendship. To cause the face to shine upon is a biblical idiom for to be friendly to him, to smile upon, or to enlighten. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And be gracious to you communicates the grace that God shows those who turn to him as Lord. This blessing implies that God graciously fulfills our petitions. He doesn't respond out of obligation. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you speaks of the attentiveness of God. The NIV version of the Bible says the Lord turn his face toward you. The imagery here is one of a father responding to the tug of a little child at his feet. Yes, my son. And lastly, I give you peace. And give you peace declares God-given peace is available to covenant keepers, which all of you are in this room. This peace calms and clears our vision, frees us from restlessness, and delivers us from the bondage of unsatisfied desires. Jesus is quoted in John 14:27, where he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. With this glimpse into the model blessing, we see the wide spectrum across which God directs us to bless. It's humbling to realize that our Heavenly Father extends the reach of His blessings through us as we're faithful to speak His blessings to others. The God we serve is the author of all blessings. He alone is the source of blessing, and His Word is a vital resource for which there is no substitute. Nothing encourages, nothing soothes, and nothing breathes hope like the Word of God. As we bless with the Holy Scriptures, we are able to sow the living Word into the lives of others in order to bring God's blessing upon them and facilitate their transformation into His image. May we generously speak blessings so that we might all become instruments of affirmation in God's hands. Our highest calling is to honor God. He's our Creator, our Redeemer, Father, and Lord. Deuteronomy 10:8 says to us, "The Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister and to pronounce blessings in His name." It's a humble privilege as priests to return words of blessing to God from His own word in worship to Him. May you develop a lifestyle of blessing as you impact others' lives with the language of God. As an example of how a blessing is shared, I'd like to close by speaking a blessing over all of you. Lowell, would you read that scripture verse, please?
Gave Himself for our sins, so that He might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father.
Thank you. Would you bow with me as I pray a blessing over you? Based on Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, may you be blessed with grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord.